Welcome to the Strong Men, Strong Marriages podcast. Here we are on a mission to get strong, get attractive, and get the marriage of our dreams. I'm your host, Mike Frazier. Let's do this. All right, men, welcome to today's episode of Strong Men, Strong Marriages. We have some very special guests today, Emmanuel and Becca Guarino. They are the founders of Team Vulnerable, which is a program to help men overcome pornography. And so I know, like, personally, a lot of the guys that were, I'm just going to say everybody that I work with, every guy I work with either has had a problem with pornography or currently does, including myself. You know, it's definitely an issue for a while. So yeah, welcome to the podcast, guys. Happy to have you.
Awesome. Thanks. Glad to be here. Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah. So yeah, if you could, maybe we start with Emmanuel, just kind of tell us your story, kind of what was the history with pornography, and yeah, a little bit about that to start.
Yeah. Well, I was addicted to porn for about 15 years. I got handed the iPhone when I was 15, and almost right away it became a thing where I just didn't have any control over it. And I would always tell myself, once I get a serious girlfriend, then I'll be done. And then I said, well, once I get married, then I'll be done. Yeah. And then I knew I was going to marry the woman to my left, but I said, you know what? 3 months before the wedding, I'll be done. 2 months, 1 month, 1 week. And then it's the night before, and I'm watching porn the night before a wedding. And when we did get married, I couldn't even have sex on our own wedding night because I was having porn-induced erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And I told Becca that night, I said, it's because I watch porn. I'm so sorry. I love you. I care about you. But I didn't say I wanted to quit at that time. And Becca and I'll let her share her side of the story here in a little bit, but we really kind of just slid this problem under the rug for about 3 years until very early on during COVID. One night, Becca essentially says to you, do you want to go have sex? And I begrudgingly say, okay, fine, because I wanted to go watch porn. You know, I was so preoccupied with that. We go to the bedroom, the porn-induced erectile dysfunction is acting up again. So I keep trying harder. It's not working, trying harder. It's not working. Eventually I just say, you know what, Becca, you're the problem. You're the issue. It's not me. It's you. And I'm screaming at her and she's crying. And I walk out of that room and I go sit down in our living room. I just put my hands on my head and I just said, God, I need help. And the Lord put on my heart very clearly, go talk to her and ask for that help. Apologize and ask for that help. And so I walked in there. And I just said, Becca, I have a serious problem. I cannot beat this thing on my own. Will you be there by my side to help me? I'm sorry. I love you. And I want to overcome this thing. And to my surprise, Becca said, okay. You know, I thought it was going to be, that was going to be it. But I was okay with it because I just said, I need help. So Becca and I, as we started working through this, you know, through a lot of trial and error, you know, we're trying to figure things out because all the resources Becca would look up would just say, you know, if he's watching porn, that means he's cheating on you, which means he's going to leave. So just get your affairs in order. And then on my end, when I would look up stuff, you know, I'm like, what do I do? Willpower? Is it just, I got to pray 25 times a day? Like, what's the solution? Should I share my search history? And so we had a lot of questions. But once we took the time to study the science, to study and research this topic, we were able to come up with a method that allowed us to overcome this as a team together. And now what we're doing is we're teaching other couples and other people who are single and even parents and kids how to overcome this as a team. So that in a nutshell is our story.
Nice. Awesome. So yeah, I'd love to hear Becca's side of this. So the, you know, so he's telling us here right now, yeah, like I had this problem for a long time. I was, you know, watching porn the night before our wedding night. Like, did you know that this was going on?
Yeah, until our wedding night, I really did not know that it was an issue at all. I believe one brief spot, like in our premarital counseling that we did, we both kind of talked about it because I watched porn for like a very short stint in college and we talked about it. So I was like, okay, yeah, like we can relate there. But when he told me then, it was phrased as a previous issue and not a current one. So yeah. On our wedding night, it was very, very surprising.
Yeah.
You know, to just be dropped that bomb. It's like, this is not how I pictured this night going.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's supposed to be just this amazing sexual experience, you know, and we hadn't had sex with each other when we got married. And so it was like, oh my goodness. So it was a huge blow, finding that out. right after getting married.
Yeah.
You know, and like Manny said, we kind of swept it under the rug. I think when I first got told, I was just not wanting it to be a part of our story so much that I was like, I'm not ready to address this. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. I just was like, stop it. Like, I watched too and I just stopped. So,
right.
So just quit, you know, sure, just yeah. not understanding like the level of addiction and how long it had gone on at that point and stuff. But yeah, it was extremely challenging to hear about and be yeah. surprised about.
Yeah. No yeah. kidding. No kidding. So yeah, yeah, Emmanuel said you guys kind of put it under the rug for a couple of years there. So
yeah.
I mean, what did that look like? So in your own mind, you're just kind of like, oh, so this is a big deal. And now like, we're not able to have sex because he's like thinking about porn instead. So how did that get brushed under the rug for years?
Yeah. I wonder that myself. I'm like, how did we not talk about this sooner?
Well, I think one thing is in my head as an addict, I just said, you know what, if I can have sex with her once or twice a week, you know, I can keep this charade up. And so that's my only thing I had to do. And it was a chore in my mind. Oh, I have to be able to do that. Oh, I can't watch because I need to be able to go. And this process just kept going and going and going and going. And what this started as with sex with Becca, where is this beautiful, awesome thing. Like I said, started to turn into just this checklist, you know, thing I got to do. So our love life was, when we were having sex, it was passionless. You know, there was no love, connection, and intimacy. And that's why really, you know, we were able to sweep it under the rug, just because I was keeping up for appearances essentially in that mode.
Got it.
Yeah. And from my standpoint, it was always kind of in the back of my mind, a worry.
Sure.
But I was like, I don't want it to be real, because it's like, I told you, yeah. Hey, that's not cool. I didn't say, oh, Manny, that's fine. Keep watching porn. Like, absolutely right. not. I was like, no, just stop doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you're going to go and you're going to stop doing it. But in the back of my mind, I'm going, I don't yeah. know if you really stopped. So there was just this level of insecurity and uncertainty when we would go to have sex, and yeah, feeling like it was more performance based. So like, if I wasn't in the mood and something would turn, you know, it was just a lot of drama like around our sex life of like, oh, you're not performing well, I'm not performing well. Like, it was not relaxed. And so it is surprising to me to this day of how we swept it under the rug for so long, with how, yeah, like Manny was saying, how obvious it was and how passionless we felt in those first few years. And we wrote it off of just like, oh, we're so busy. We're so busy with work. And, you know, it's just making those excuses of like, oh, that's why it's like hard for us to connect. Or it's that we grew up Christian, right? And so it's just hard for, you know, so yeah. all these other excuses kind of creep in. But yeah, looking back, it's like, oh, this was very glaring and we could have dealt with it a lot sooner. But hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what comes to my mind, that's denial, right? I mean, that's, mm-hmm. that's what you guys were both using.
Yeah.
And it's powerful, right? Because, you know, if you're just kind of like, oh, it's not that big of a problem, you know, it's kind of a, do you go by Manny or Emmanuel? What do you like?
Oh, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Yeah. Okay. I heard her say Manny. So,
Manny's good too.
But. Sorry. I always call him Manny.
So, so yeah, Emmanuel's kind of like, oh, you know, maybe it's not that big a deal. You know, I'm keeping my appearances. And Becca's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's there and I told him, so it should be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. So, you know, that element, there wasn't intimacy there. Obviously, there's a big secret being hidden. So there's not like a mental or emotional intimacy there from the secret perspective. But did you notice that happening in other areas too, where you just didn't feel like you knew each other very well, kind of like the mental and emotional intimacy just seemed kind of off in those years?
Well, one of the big things when you're a porn addict, you just think, well, I can keep this under wraps. No one's ever going to know, you know, I'm not a drug addiction, so they're not going to see. But there was a really good example, you know, porn teaches you women are objects and they're just there for sex and that's all they're good for. And so Beck and I would be watching TV sometimes And there'd be this female character who would come on, and just any type of show we'd be watching. Female character comes on. She shows some type of emotion that I didn't like per se. And I would just be like, oh, Becca, don't you just hate this? You know, she's just the worst. Oh, I hate her. And I would just be visibly upset. And Becca's like, what's your problem? Are you some type of sexist? What's your deal, man? And it's like, no, I mean, don't you just, and she's like, there is nothing wrong with her. Why do you never do this with men? You only do this with women. And so many times we have no idea how much it's warping our minds, where we have no idea how far we've gone down those rabbit holes. There's a good example for you. But another one that I hate this one as well, but just the anger. You know, it was like Andy at the office sometimes, you know, where he punching his hole through the wall. You know, I didn't do that, but slamming doors and screaming and these things. And it never got physical between Beck and I, thank goodness. But to that point, you always think this thing has no side effects. It's not doing anything. It doesn't cost any money. It's free. No, it is incredibly, incredibly expensive. It is incredibly detrimental to your marriage and all of your relationships. And it cannot last forever. Eventually, that jig is going to come up and you have a choice to stand up and be a man or wait until you get caught and just stay in that boyish behavior for the rest of, you know, time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, great examples. And then I'm curious too, like, so Becca, seeing that anger and like these kind of strange reactions, did you find yourself kind of hiding yourself in the marriage, like not really sharing as much of what was going on with you or not really?
That's a really good question. Not like to a crazy extent on my end. Like I felt like I was able to be myself for the most part, but there would just be moments where he was struggling with the paranoia and the anger a lot. And so it felt like, okay, I can have conversations with you, like important conversations with you, but I have to be so careful about when they are, like, it's like navigating, like walking around landmines is what I, like looking back on it, describe it as of like, yes, I could still do it, but it was like, it has to be like exactly when he's in the right mood, the right state, something didn't go off at work because it was just like the littlest things would set him off. And it was just like, why are you reacting so crazy to this phone call or this email or whatever, me doing something slightly different or, you know, the smallest thing. So it wasn't like I felt like I was hiding a big piece of myself. I was definitely hiding the insecurities with like our sex life and stuff like that, because I didn't want to bring that up. But the rest of our life was like, I'll bring it up, but it's just very strained, right? I had to be careful about how I did it, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Cool. So what year did you guys get married?
2017.
And then, you know, so this is all going on. And then 2020 is when kind of the revelation moment happened.
Right when COVID hit, really, when we were all buckled down. That's when came to the light.
So 2020 hits. And then, and thank you for like kind of painting that picture for us. So Emmanuel is yelling, yeah, this is your fault. And then kind of goes and then kind of hits that moment. Comes back in, it's like, hey, will you help me? So like, what was going through your mind, Becca, at that moment?
Lots of emotions. One, I think a big part of it was relief, because it's like, I knew that it was an issue and I never went out of my way to like try and catch him. Like I didn't want to do any of these things, but there was some level of relief of like, okay, I'm glad this is coming out, because I knew there was something up, like you've been acting strange for years, you know?
Yeah.
So there was relief. There was anger of just going, it's hard to look back at these last few years just with that different lens, knowing that you've been watching porn so frequently. Some insecurity of just going like, why am I not enough, that you had to go to these videos all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think another one was a lot of uncertainty of how do I do this? How do I, because it's, I definitely had I've always been a forgiving person. I definitely had this determination of like, I want to help you, but I don't know how. And Manny mentioned that earlier of like, I remember that night just looking up like, okay, how to help your spouse with a porn addiction. And there was nothing like what we're doing here where it's like, you know, sharing that hope or that light of like, you can recover from this. You can have an amazing relationship post porn addiction. It was all negative. And so it was like, darn it. I really didn't want to have to be like a trailblazer here of, you know, helping my husband through this. So it was a big mix of emotions. Definitely those first few weeks were really difficult to just work through my own emotions.
Sure.
About everything, but just having that hope and that desire that other women wouldn't have to have my same experience.
Yeah.
Was what kept me going, I think.
For sure.
Through that tough time. Yeah.
So, absolutely. So kind of coming back to that moment. So it's like, oh man, I'm here. And you know, Emmanuel's like hitting rock bottom, like wants help, wants you to help him. So Emmanuel, tell me on your side, what did that, because we kind of heard from Becca, like, okay, so I looked online and like didn't really find anything. Like what was your process of like, okay, I know I need help. So what? How did you try to go about it?
I mean, really, I felt this is all there is left, you know, and the Lord put that on my heart and it was the last thing that I wanted to do, but it's what I knew I needed to do because no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't break this thing. And I was able to be very successful in tons of other areas of my life, but this one thing, I just could not break it no matter how hard I tried. So when I reached out to Becca, what we noticed was the biggest thing was addiction dies in the light and it can only grow in the darkness. And so just by bringing it into the light, that helped so much. And we did some obvious things right up front, like putting on a Covenant Eyes onto the phone and getting some of these blockers onto the phone. But what happened is that those are all great. But then I would go to, you know, porn substitutes. I go to a YouTube or an Instagram, and it might not be hardcore porn, but, you know, and I would go masturbate from time, you know, here and there. So things got a lot better and my mind started to clear up, but I wasn't all the way there. Mm-hmm. And so what Beck and I started to do was we started to research and we started to read everything there was out there on porn addiction and sex addiction, and addiction in general. And what we really found is that porn is just a pain reliever. There's some pain that's going on inside and that's why we're going to this in the first place. And so for me, it was very early on in my life, even first grade, I was being bullied. I had ADD, dyslexia. I was given all these pills to be normal, quote unquote, and like the other kids. And so I never felt like I was like everyone else. And then when my family went through the recession, that was just a big hit for me. And I was always scared about money. So no matter how much success or money I had, I always felt like I needed more. I always felt like I was never enough. And I was just dealing with some massive imposter syndrome. And I was using porn, alcohol, weed, and food to overcome it. And so once I realized that, and once I started to work through the pain, what was so crazy about it is that first off, the anger and paranoia completely went away. I had peace. I was able to relax. The idea of not being able to accept love, if you don't love yourself, you can't accept love from other people. So no matter how many compliments I got, it didn't matter. So once I learned to actually love myself, I was able to finally accept that love, which was huge. In this process as well, I lost 40 pounds. And I have some photo on our website or something like that, but it's literally like, you know, Brendan Fraser and the Whale down to like Tony Horton, you know, P90X. Like it, and that wasn't something I was trying to do, but it was, I was no longer running to food and to alcohol and to weed to fix that pain. And so those things magically went away. I didn't set out to get a six pack. It was just, oh, I no longer have the pain that needs to be handled and all these things take care of themselves. But most importantly, Beck and I's love life, our intimacy, our connection, just grew to levels that I never could have imagined. And I had kind of just come to a place in my mind where I was like, all right, you know, I love her. She's the best person I've ever met in my whole life. But like our sex life is never going to be good. I kind of just was like, it's just going to be okay at best. And now it's grown to levels and it's still growing where I won't talk about last night, but full disclosure, you know, things are going great. You know, it's like, and it just keeps getting better. And it's just been absolutely incredible. So that was kind of our journey to get to that point of really overcoming this thing for good. And now What's so wild about this, and I want the men who are listening to this to hear this, when I come onto a show like this, I have to think back in my head, what was it like to actually be addicted to this thing? Like, because it's so foreign, it's so far away. This is not something where I'm scratching my neck like an addict, like I really wish I could, or I'm counting days, you know, constantly. It's like, yeah. I don't know the day. It's been a long time and it's never coming back into my life ever again. And it's not a problem. And so freedom is actually possible. And that message has just been so thrown out in our society that you can only just resist it. You can never have freedom, yeah. Right? You can have freedom from it if you do the work. If you don't do the work, you will be resisting it. You might not be watching it, but you're going to want to. I don't want to watch porn ever again. It's easy to not watch porn. But until I handled that pain, it was always that resisting that I was dealing with. And eventually you're going to break down. Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's my story.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as kind of dealing with the pain or looking at some of that stuff, like how did you go about that? Was it therapy? Was it like, what did that look like?
One of the biggest things is just first off, having the awareness. Many times we have no idea that we have a pain or that we've been holding on to these things. For me, I was kind of like a workaholic. I would shoot 1,000 shots a day when I was growing up, when I was in high school, trying to be in the NBA one day. That's not normal behavior of a 16-year-old kid to go to a gym for 3.5 hours and to do that. Probably should have noticed something was wrong with me rather than everyone else. But once I started to have that awareness of the pain and just start to talk through it, sometimes with therapy, but mostly with my teammate, with Becca, where I just talk through of like, hey, you know, I got some things that are going on. Can we just talk through these things? And just her encouragement, her love, that was the biggest thing. And what we realized was is that not everyone has access to state, you know, world-class therapists, right? Or have the money or the resources or all these things. And it might be a, you know, someone who doesn't really understand them or really care. But everyone has, you know, one person in their life who's willing to be there for them, to listen to them and to be that teammate through this process. So just talking through it, just starting to work through it was a huge thing. Now that we help other people with it, sometimes we highly, highly recommend people to go to a therapist for whatever they're going to. And it's never a bad idea to go to therapy. But for many people, just starting to talk through it with that loved one, with that teammate, is what's really going to start moving that, you know, needle in that way.
Yeah. I guess what comes to my mind is like, it seems like you'd almost need some sort of prompts, right? To like, to know, okay, like what is the pain, or, hey, like look back to your past and like, well, what is that? So, you know, is that part of what you guys do now, is like kind of help point people that direction of like, hey, like think about what is the pain like, here are kind of some common areas, or what does that look like?
Totally. Yeah. We have, throughout our program, there's lots of different, it's very exercise heavy and like, hey, do this with your teammate, you know, on a weekly basis, but there's lots of different ones where it's like, uncovering your past and like asking you a bunch of questions from like childhood on. Nice. Of just like, hey, did this happen to you? Because, you know, sometimes things are so repressed that it's like, oh my goodness, until I get asked that question or I see it on there, I don't even remember. Oh, wow. Yeah, that was really something I internalized and it caused me to act out this way. So we have tons of exercises to help people, you know, just dive into that past. And so then, yeah, like once it's been uncovered, whether you're working on it with the teammate or, you know, we've had a lot of students with very serious traumas in their past where it's like, hey, you know, you should definitely consider going to a therapist if you can, because these are some really big T traumas going on there. But if it's something more like Manny, where it's like, hey, you know, I just have this low self-esteem that wasn't addressed, you know, you can probably work through that with your teammate, just going through and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of exercises and like amphitheater, all these things. So yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So you guys went through it, you learned that, hey, like here's, you know, dealing with that pain is the key, and, you know, being able to deal with that pain with my teammate, ideally, you know, your spouse would be awesome. Seem to kind of just resolve some of that pain. And then, yeah, I've been doing a lot, restudying about attachment a lot. And, you know, when you feel secure with somebody, you know, that just drops your fear response, drops your panic, you know, helps you feel safe, which, you know, in the way I look at pornography use, yeah, healing a pain, but also like a way to relieve an emotion, like,
right.
pain for sure, but also just like, you know, frustration or whatever. Like it makes that go away for a little while. So how did you guys then, so you kind of figured that out between your own study and kind of doing stuff together, you know, how did that then evolve into the program you guys have now?
Yeah. So what happened was, we were working as realtors. We were some of the top realtors selling assisted living homes. We had a lot of success, and we were working as a family business in the seminar industry. And my dad was the head of the company, and he was just this absolutely incredible man. And all of a sudden, out of like nowhere, he gets COVID and he just dies. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, boom. And all of a sudden, I'm put into the CEO role of this company, you know, 40 people, $12 million a year. And I'm given everything the world could tell you and make you happy. You got fame, you got prestige, you got money, you got everything. You got people cheering your name, you know, wherever, whatever city you go to, they're coming to see you. And the Lord put on our hearts, he said, walk away and follow me. Mm-hmm. And we were like, and we just tried to make it work. But just no matter how hard we tried to make this thing work, just we couldn't quite do it. And eventually we realized, okay, we got to walk away and follow the Lord. And so in my head, I'm thinking the Lord's thinking like, maybe I'm going to get into insurance. Maybe it's going to be a different type of real estate. Maybe that's what God had planned for me. Cause he wouldn't tell me anytime I would say, what do you want us to do? He just said, walk away. So we walked away, and about 2 weeks later, Beck and I are at dinner, and we both just feel on our hearts, go teach people how to overcome porn addictions. And we are like so happy. We're so excited. But then at the same time, we're like, oh my, this is crazy. This is wild. So I'm having all this internal, you know, conflict. And about 2 days later, I remember I was working out in my house, and all of a sudden it felt like I got hit by a lightning bolt from above, and I fell to my knee, and I just felt the Lord say, raise up an army to fight this evil power. And in that moment, I realized it wasn't that Beck and I are these special people with 25 degrees and all these things. It was that the Lord was leading us, and all we had to do was follow. And so when we had that peace in our hearts, we started to research, we started to put the program together, we put it into a neat, you know, simple method to be able to go through it. And what was crazy about it is the very first guy who gets our program, I told them, you know, I think, I apologize, let me back up a second. When we first started, our program was like $2,000 or $3,000, because we just came from a business model that was doing that. We're like, you know, this will be easy, we'll just do that. So many people wanted the program, but they were struggling financially. And that's one of the reasons why they were going to porn in the first place. And so I just felt the Lord put on my heart to say, you know what? I'm going to take care of that. Don't worry about the financials. Don't worry about that. So there was this kid who wanted to get signed up. I say kid, I'm still a kid, 31, but he was 22. And he said, I've been looking at porn since I was 11, 6 to 10 times a day at its worst. And I'm about to get married. And I said, David, come on, you got to do the program. It's simple. Yep. Just get the program, get started. It's not that complicated. And he's like, I want to, I just don't have the money to do it. And so I felt on my heart, the Lord was reminding me of what he had said. And I just said, David, just do whatever you can. Don't worry about the money, just whatever you can. He says, I got $40. I said, then you got the program. And he became the first person to get the program to get started. Now, here's what's crazy. The Lord told me to raise up an army to fight this evil power. The first guy who gets signed up, his name is David. He's in the Army Reserve, and he was literally in the Army barracks having the phone call with me when he got signed up. And I said, David, if that isn't a God moment, I don't know what is at that point. And so David went through the program. He's now married. They have their first kid on the way. He's got a new job. He's in the best shape of his life. And it's like his whole life has been transformed. It's been amazing to see that. And so when that happened, when we saw how well David was going through the course and the success he was having, we changed our entire model. We became a nonprofit, and we made our program extremely affordable, so that way anyone can get it. If someone literally can't afford it, like it's a very low amount, but if someone can't get it, supportateamvulnerable.com, give us a call, give us an email, let us know. We'll work something out. We'll figure something out. Don't worry about that. Don't let that get in your way. But it's been amazing to see. And in our very first year, we've had just under 500 people get started from 28 different countries around the world. And it's been amazing to see what the Lord has done.
Ah, that's awesome. So when someone enrolls, what does that look like? What do they do? What do they get? What's your guys' involvement?
Yeah. So right now, how it works is, you know, there's a number of steps. The first thing is admitting you have a problem and getting that teammate. Once you get the teammate on board, it's about cleaning house, so that way we can't get to the drug the same way we used to before. And then it's about handling that root problem that we were talking about earlier. Once we've done that, we learn how to communicate better with ourselves and with others to understand what are our needs, right? And understanding that someone else can help you get those needs. You don't need to just run away to one of these pain relievers. After that, we demystify the porn fantasy of this is this great place and these women love it. Spoiler alert, they hate it. It's terrible. It's awful. And then what we do is we examine their lifestyle. And so one of the things you're saying is like, sometimes it's this deep trauma. And sometimes it's just a stressful email. So creating an environment that's going to be conducive for you living a life of freedom. And then lastly, we teach them how to pay it forward to that next generation. So it's not just them who's healed, right? It's that next person that can have that healing as well. So what we do is we like to have a call right when they get signed up to make sure that they're good, answer any questions that they have, talk to their partner. And that was the biggest thing with our course is I would always say like, I just need Becca to be in this journey with me. And so we realized that a lot of people, we were talking before the show started, like sometimes a spouse is saying, you know, I'm unsure. I don't know how to support them. You know, they're going through all these emotions. That's totally normal. But that's why we made the program for them both to go through this together as a team, because we educate them both about what's going on. It's not that he's a pervert or a deviant or anything like that. It's that there's a pain going on and he's gone to this pain reliever, this free drug that he's been put into his hand since he was probably 10 years old or 20 years old and said, here's a free drug. He's been going to that thing to fix that pain. So once we educate them on what's going on, they have a lot more understanding and understand that love is the answer and not shame. So a lot of stuff right there, but that's kind of the story.
Yeah, cool. So, you know, if let's say I go sign up, I get like modules that'll kind of work me through that. And then yep. a call with you guys or like with one of your coaches or like who do
it's,
they?
It's us. You better get started now. So it's us. And, you know, as we get bigger, you know, I might be talking to someone else. But right now you talk to me, you talk to Becca and you'll get my number and you'll have that. And we are here for you. And at the end, of course, we have a wrap up call and help with whatever we can. But if somebody needs to talk, set up a Zoom call with us, you know, email us, cool. text us, you know, whatever you need. We are here for you because this is not just a business. This is our mission that the Lord has put onto our hearts. And, you know, on a more serious note, you know, porn has been linked to causing divorces. It's been linked to human trafficking, rapes, and, you know, suicides as well. You know, we've had 8-year-old kids reach out to us and say, I was going to kill myself until I saw your video. And that gave me hope to keep going. Now I'm going to tell my parents that I need help with this and we're going to start working through this together. And so first we started with married couples. Then it was people who were single were reaching out to us. And then it was kids. And we're like, we got to just make a few tweaks and get this thing out here because people need help and they need help going through this. So whatever your situation is, we have a program for you and can help you through this.
Yeah, I love that. And so is there sort of like a community element as well, like different people the program connect or not really?
So we're both laughing because one of the biggest things for me growing up is I always, you know, every guy talks about it. Hey, I watch porn. Hey, I watch porn too. Let's be accountability partners. Then they never check in with each other. Or if, you know, my former accountability partner, if he had covenant eyes, he saw that I went to XYZ website. There's not that same accountability as if my wife saw I went to XYZ website, right? Fill in the blank. And so one of the big things is we're not against the community. We're not anything like that. But we want your teammates to be people who are invested in your life. So that significant other, that spouse, that best friend, that parent, that whoever, and that therapist, you know, the church, the whoever those people are closest to you that you're going to be able to communicate, because we talked about it. There is the deeper pain and trauma that we need to deal with. But then once we get past that, then we have the nature of the world that we live in. So we have things like being hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, stressed. These things are never going to go away. So we need to have that team around us to help talk us through those things, to help build in those healthy strategies, help hold us accountable. And when we have that team that you can be in contact, that you can be in those relationships with, that's when you can start to really have that true freedom and that brain can have the time to rewire and become healthy again.
Got it. So you guys aren't trying to like provide that team within the community, within like people who enroll in your program. You're just kind of trying to help them identify and say, hey, like, who do you have? Like, who can you build on? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And then you guys are kind of that safe place too of like, I can't find anybody or like I'm struggling. Then they reach out to you guys and you're there. Awesome. Cool. So yeah, I mean, it sounds great. The thing that I like the way I have a program about pornography too, and we'll get to like, I have a special offer for you guys. If you do decide to join up with these guys, which I'd highly recommend. It's a very inexpensive and Yeah, I love the approach they're talking about building that a system around you. Like more and more, I'm realizing how important that is to have that. So anyway, kind of lost track of my thoughts there. But oh yeah, so I built this program because my cousin was on a mission for a church and was having so much problem with pornography that he had to come home, like, and was having those kind of thoughts, like, oh, maybe life's not worth living, like those kind of things, right? So I was like, dude, just come live with us for a while and like, let's see what we can do. And so I just kind of built something that, like he'd done Sexaholics Anonymous and some of things like that. And what I don't like about that approach is what you're just saying, that idea of like, oh, I'm going to be an addict forever and there's nothing I can do about this. And it just, to me, felt very defeating. Yep. Like kind of hopeless. And so yeah, our approach sounds similar to yours. Just like, hey dude, like you've got bad habits in place and like there's a new way to deal with your emotions. And so yeah, and I love the idea of, you know, having that person to share with you and go to and be with you. So yeah, I think, yeah, with yeah, there's different tools that'll help different people with this stuff, but we're definitely aligned in this approach of like, hey, this can be overcome. Like you can be free. It doesn't have to be something that you're gonna be stuck with forever and raise your hand and say, oh yeah, like I'm a sexaholic, and you know, have everybody say, oh yeah, yeah, me too. So another thing that's kind of funny about what you're saying with building this community that's still invested in you is, as reading up on this, it's a lot of reasons why these other ones fail, you know, these accountability partners, is like that's all you talk about. And so it's not even a real relationship. It's just like like if that's the only thing you ever talk to somebody about, like they're not really your friend. Like they're not, like if I go find somebody on the, like I go walk outside here, I'm like, oh hey, like I watch pornography. can you like get me in trouble every time I do that? They'd be like, right. I mean, I guess. And then but if I saw them at the store, like I wouldn't want to talk about anything else. It'd be kind of embarrassing. But you know, with your wife or like with a friend, a long-term friend that you know is still going to be there, sure, like maybe kind of at least part of it, but it's actually more just, you know, like I have somebody, like I'm not alone, like there's somebody with me, you know, that's what's going to be more powerful.
Well, and I mean, to that point, one of the big things is I always say when I'm talking to a husband and wife is I say, porn is a problem that we have to deal with, but porn is not the problem that we ultimately need to handle if we're going to overcome this thing. And so just realizing that porn is not the problem. There's something else that's going on that's causing us to go here. And so I couldn't agree with you more. And by the way, we talked a lot about faith, you know, and that's because I'm passionate, you know, believer and things like that. But for anyone who's not of the faith, this is not a religious program and you got to pray 25 times a day and you know, turn towards the West Star or anything like that. You don't need to do any of that, okay? Like, but I'm not saying that don't do that. I'm just saying that's not what this program is. If you want to hear more about our faith and things like that, happy to have that conversation with you. But this is a program for anyone, any walk of life. These things will apply to you.
Yeah. And kind of coming back to that same idea of relationships, you know, you know, I'm a Christian as well, and that's important to me and most of the guys that listen and are part of the program. You know, that's somebody that is always on your team too, you know, like building that relationship with God and, you know, knowing your value before God, knowing that he cares about you, even though you're struggling, especially because you're struggling actually, can be a powerful element of your team, right? When we talk about building this team around you. I was going to say something else about that. I don't remember what it was. So tell me where they can find you, and I'll explain our little promotion we're going to have going this next week or so.
Right. Yeah. Our website is teamvulnerable.com. That's the best place with the best info. We have a lot of YouTube videos as well resources.
Awesome. Yeah.
But we'll have a link in there so they can click on that. That's the best place to take them right to where they need to go. But yeah, get started, you know, set up that call. We got 30-day money back guarantee. There's nothing that you're giving up or there's no anything like that. So get started, get signed up, talk to us. We are here for you guys. And I'm telling you, you can have freedom from this, but you got to be vulnerable and you got to have that moment of strength and vulnerability and just stand up to this thing. And you got to realize this is not just all right, I got the program, bam, I'm done. It's you're taking one step in the right direction each day. And if you keep doing that, eventually you are going to have that freedom. And this can be a problem of the past. And you can grow so much stronger from this. Your life will be so much better after overcoming this, rather than just this slow death of watching porn over and over and over again. So get started, teamvulnerable.com, but get that link in the bottom. That's the best place to go for it. And just want to say thank you again for having us.
Yeah, awesome. I remember what I was going to say. What I was going to say is this, like maybe some of you guys have talked to like your pastor or your bishop or like your church leader, and they told you exactly what Emmanuel just said. You pray more, read the scriptures more. A lot of times they don't really know what to tell you besides that. And so, you know, they're offering you the best advice they can. Unfortunately, you've probably already tried that, right? You probably have already tried praying a lot and reading the scriptures a lot or whatever, and it's not working. And a lot of times you can take away from that, oh, well, God doesn't care, or like, I'm just not praying hard enough, or I'm not reading the scriptures enough. But it's just that there's nothing wrong with you. Like it's something that's going on in your brain. Your brain's operating how it's supposed to be operating. It's just learned that it needs pornography to survive, to get away from pain. That's all that's going on. Like you're not defective. Your brain's operating properly.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, to that point, there's a crazy stat. I have it right here in front of me. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. 1 in 5 youth pastors and 1 in 7 senior pastors are regular porn users. And so this is a issue that is worldwide. And you might be talking to them and it's the last person you'd expect to be struggling with this thing. And they say, oh, actually, I'm struggling with this as well. I don't know. Pray for it to go away. God loves you and he knows where you're at in your journey. And so that's what when we say take one step forward in the right direction, it's not, you know, change everything and start reading the Bible 24 hours a day. And, you know, it's, hey, let's take one step in the right direction. Start moving there.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I love how your podcast is called Strong Men, Strong Marriages. But that is something that I admire so much about Manny is just that strength. It's like being vulnerable and speaking up and telling your spouse that this is an issue is such a strength. And whether she responds great or it's really rough in the beginning, trust me, she wants to know that this is an issue. And ultimately, most women, all of the women that we've talked to, desperately want to help their partners to overcome this. And when they see, when we tell them, we educate them on the statistics of how many people are struggling with this, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm not alone. So you can make a difference in the life of so many other people by standing up. It's like Manny stood up. We've been able to help just, you know, almost 500 couples just this first year. And we've had more and more people. You know, we had someone the other day actually gift the program to a friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so by you getting free, you can help others get free and just create this massive ripple effect because the numbers are so staggering. It's truly shocking. It's like, yeah, Manny said 91% of men, 60% of women on a regular basis are watching this. So it's like you can make a huge difference just by getting your house in order, by standing up and having that strength to have that vulnerable conversation. It's a very sexy thing to have a husband who is willing to be vulnerable. I think all women would agree. So just do it.
And to that point, you know, we have one of our very first lessons is how to bring this conversation up to your spouse. And so we walk you through step by step what to say and what not to say and how to be ready for that conversation and just understanding exactly what Becca said. Hey, she's entitled to feel any number of emotions and that's okay, but give her time, give her grace, give her love, give her mercy. And in time, once she gets educated about it, once she has time to take everything in,
you're educated about her feelings.
And you're educated about her feelings, vice versa, you guys are going to have so much better love, understanding, grace for each other, and you're going to come through this thing stronger on the other side. But yes, it will be tough, but it is absolutely worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, in our program, we talk a lot about the tagline is, you know, we help Christian men have more intimate marriages, and intimacy meaning, you know, knowing and being known. And so like you being known, hey, like this is a problem. Like has to happen. If you want an intimate marriage, it has to happen. Period. Like that's why I was asking, like, did you guys notice yourselves hiding other things besides this? Mm-hmm. Probably you were, right? Because if you're hiding something that big, you're gonna really hide from each other, and you can't have intimacy that way. So I told you guys I got a special offer this week for if you're on my email list. If you're not, visit strongmen.io. And there's like a free training on there. You can get on it there. That'll put you on the email list. But yeah, for this week, so you'll get like an email series about it. There'll be a link to purchase the program from Team Vulnerable. If you do purchase it in this next week, I'm going to include my program called the Porn Free Process as part of that. So definitely you can learn some tools from mine, you know, learn the strategy from theirs. I think they'll actually be really complimentary the more I kind of learn about their program, where, you know, what mine's pretty heavy on is like the thought processes and managing your thought processes and like dealing with your emotions well, where I'm sure that's part of yours too, but you guys also include a lot of that social element, which mine doesn't. So I think they'd be complimentary in a good way. What's the price? You mentioned it was, you know, affordable. Does it kind of vary, or how do you guys?
Yeah, right now we have it. It's $49.99. So that's what we have it at. And so, like I said, if you truly cannot do that, do not let that stop you. Reach out to us. Let us know. We want you to have freedom from this. We understand financial situations change, but get started. Get moving forward. Take action. There is no reason for you not to take action on this. Like we said, 30-day money-back guarantee. You're getting both programs. Now is the opportunity. Now is your chance. And so freedom is possible. You can do this. Just put one foot in front of the other and take action.
Yeah. Amazing. And that's a one-time payment, correct? To $49.99.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, I mean, you won't get something that cheap from me ever again, like I promise. And so like if you want to get some of my stuff for less, this is your chance. But no, love what you guys are doing. Super awesome. And yeah, thank you so much for being on. Any final words? Again, the link will be in the show notes to join the program. Drop my email list, you'll get kind of like a special offer in this next week. But yeah, any last words?
You know, we think I can just keep this secret forever. I can just keep going. No one needs to know. You know, you have a choice right now to say, I want to have a high bottom or a low bottom. So you can say, I can get out of this hole I'm in right now, or I can keep digging myself down further. And, you know, the wife finds out, or the kids walk in on me, or I get arrested because of this, or I lose my job because of this. You have the choice right now to turn this thing around, to redeem this situation, to turn this into a moment of strength, a moment of connection. And, you know, like I talked about it, this is not about porn. This is about your life. This is about what's going on deeper inside. And so a lot of times people think porn is free. And it's like, well, a porn addict watches 10 to 12 hours of porn a week. If that's a 10-hour week job, 10 times 40, it's like we did the math on it. It was something like 50 grand over the course of 10 years or something. It's like, what could you use 50 grand for right now? And that's minimum wage. Yeah. You know, that's minimum wage way, way long ago before, you know, everything going on. But to that point, it's like, it's not free. It's not in the dark. It's not in the secret. And what is so cool about it is once I got free from this, the changes I would see, the patience I would have, the gentleness, the kindness, the love, the connection. The devil is trying to keep you going down this thing. It's just a screen. It's just a screen. It's just a screen. We have seen marriages come back together because of this. We have seen rapes be prevented because of this and lives be saved because of this. And you might think, well, I'm not going to go start my own anti-porn program, whatever. Yeah, but just your strength of standing up to this and getting started inspires us. And then we go on a podcast and that inspires someone else. And that person may be the person who goes out and changes the world. And one day when you go to heaven, it's going to be, hey, well done, good and faithful servant for doing what I had you in that place to do. And so just understand, it is so much bigger than just that screen, and you can make a difference and you can have freedom from this. So reach out to us, get started. We're here for you.
Love that. Love it. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys. And again, yeah, special offer this week. You get both programs for under $50. So, I mean, yeah, it's like a dinner now
Come on, we can't make it easier for you. That's the whole point. Like,
to be free from this for good. You know, there's no better. You know, not a better way to spend your money, I think. Mm-hmm. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks again so much. Appreciate having you guys on. And yeah, stay strong, men, and we will see you next episode.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes and share the episode with a friend so we can help create stronger men and stronger marriages across the world. And if you're ready to take your strength training and your marriage to the next level, visit strongmenstrongmarriages.com to learn how. I'll see you there.